You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com. Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
That moment when a pet slips from being a part of your family to being a memory can be one filled with quiet peace or regrets. If you're a fortunate pet parent, you had time to consider the passing, time to soak in the essence of your pet, and time to ensure that your companion has been kept comfortable and the passing with dignity. My guest is Canadian veterinarian, Dr. Leanna Titcomb. She is currently the president of the International Association of Animal Hospice and Palliative Care, an association focused on comfort-oriented care to companion animals as they approach the end of life. We're going to be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
The young lady from the rescue delivered happy, and I panicked. She was missing hair, stinky, scabby, and I thought, what did I get us into? The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect. The other owners didn't care enough about him to give him the nutrition he needed. But I have a vet that I trust, and she recommended Dinovite.
DinoVite.com.
I ordered the first 90-day supply, and within a couple weeks, his skin started clearing up. He didn't smell. He had more energy. He just had a glow and a bounce about him. We've been using Dinovite for the last year, and Happy the rescue dog is Happy the healthy dog. I tell all my friends who have rescues to give their dog the chance at a new start with Dinovite. It's going to pay off for you and your dog for years to come.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Titcomb, thank you so much for being with us. This is a subject that so many people are in denial. They don't want to think about it. It's uncomfortable. If I think about it, you know, it's just going to be bring it to fruition. I don't want to do it. How did you get into this?
Oh, how did I start to become a hospice veterinarian? Well, that's a good question. I think everyone has their life story of what brought them to this point. So for me, I had an old dog named George, who was a big dog, and he was always full of life and very active. And, you know, at the end of his time, when it came time to say goodbye, I was able to let him go in the peace and comfort of his own backyard with the sun shining on him, my kids, you know, young children jumping on the trampoline next to him. And as that happened, I thought about it after and thought, I wouldn't drive my dog into a clinic in his final moments. So why shouldn't it be fair that all clients and all pets had that opportunity? And then from a personal perspective, my own mother had a quite a terrible end of life in a nursing home, and she herself was a human physician. And so her passing was not peaceful and comfortable, and I felt I would like to make it better. And for my patients as animals, at least I could do it for them and for their people. So that's what brought me here about 5 years ago.
And I think that is so important. What you're talking about right now is good death. I think that's, you know, everyone thinks, oh, death is bad, but there can be good death. What's your definition of that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that people, we live in a death-denying society. We don't talk about it. We fear it. To understand that animals don't live like that. They don't fear death. They don't have the forethought to worry about their end. So for us to understand that we can make that a beautiful, peaceful passing instead of having an animal leave this world in fear and anxiety and stress, like, we really want to change that vision and make it, we know it's sad. We know it's a sorrowful time for people, but to know that an animal can leave this world with dignity and peace and comfort, it's amazing to be able to offer that gift to them.
And I think People might hear the term hospice and somewhat have a feeling for that. But what's the difference between hospice and palliative care, and does one lead into the other?
Well, so palliative care is included within hospice, but palliative care could also be for a patient who is going to continue to live.
Okay.
Hospice is very specific to terminally ill patients, but it does include palliative care, so like comfort care measures that we can provide often in the home setting. But palliative care on its own doesn't necessarily mean that the patient is going to die or is soon going to be reaching the end of their life.
And it can be for any species. So I know most of the people listening to this show are going to have cats or dogs, but you could do the same thing for a bird. You could do it, I guess, for a lizard, anything that you have in the home that's your pet that you care for.
Oh, absolutely. And so there are certain veterinarians who are specialized in those types of, you know, reptiles or what we call pocket pets. So like we, on our team in Canada, you know, we've helped say goodbye to a rabbit, for example, at home. And also we're starting to think in a broader sense of horses and other animals in shelters and even in like sanctuaries with what we might consider, you know, a zoo animal, but they still deserve to die peacefully. So we're really trying to broaden the scope in this international organization looking to the future.
What countries, you keep mentioning international, and this is fabulous because this affects people throughout the world. What countries right now are represented by your organization?
Well, our organization has about 400 members. Most of them are from the U.S. I'd say about 350 from the U.S., but we have about 25 from Canada. We have, we're building in the United Kingdom. So in the U.K., we have 11 right now, and also 4 from Australia. And we get together every year for our international conference, which is usually in the States for now anyway. But we've had other vets come from as far away as Singapore. So it's possible that people could come from wherever and still be part of this great networking organization that it is U.S.-based, but we really want to try to make it international.
With hospice and this palliative care, I love the fact that you brought up that even animals in shelters, I think it's what most people would never consider. It's like, okay, these poor little honeys, they're there in a shelter. You know, there are no kill shelters, but after a while, they may just get old and need to pass because of age-related issues. But there are shelters that are kill shelters because they're just so overwhelmed. What can they do in a shelter situation for hospice?
Well, I've actually met in Ottawa with the director of the Humane Society here, and we've talked about that because I think even just sedation is so important prior to euthanasia. So if they could add even just that, like an inexpensive acepromazine, for example, that we use, you know, to just bring them to a little bit more peaceful place before the euthanasia, and just the environment as well. So, you know, they could go into a different room that is more comfortable. The lighting is dimmer and it's, you can have a couch there and just a little bit more peaceful environment. And then you could have certain staff members that are very sensitive and good with handling animals at end of life. And so, you know, we've actually sat down and talked about it because, you know, the director of the Humane Society in Ottawa recognizes the need for peaceful passing of animals, even in a shelter environment. So I think we as a whole community can help each other to help the animals.
And it's really not going to cost anything more to give that little bit of peace, to give them that medication just to bring it down a bit.
Exactly. And if any animal deserves a peaceful passing, wouldn't it be an animal who's had to spend their last days in a shelter?
Oh, I can imagine it's horrible. They're scared. They have no idea what's going on. And every person that walks by, it's like, are you my forever mommy and daddy?
Yeah.
I love the fact that you're promoting that. With hospice, with palliative care, we oftentimes think of that senior pet. But there's other conditions that this would be appropriate for. What are some other ones, Dr. Tickham?
Oh, absolutely. Because a young pet can get cancer, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some giant breed dogs that aren't very old but have an osteosarcoma, so a serious bone cancer that's very, very painful. And the clients have opted not to go to surgery, so they decided to let them go at the age sometimes of 4 years old. So there's definitely conditions. A heart disease is another one that can happen when an animal's younger. So it doesn't mean terminal illness does not necessarily always happen in a senior pet. And the same thing, unfortunately, for humans. So there are, you know, young children that are terminally ill that you know, you have to say that at least you want the 2 years that they are with you on this planet to be good 2 years, you know, if that's all they get, that at least you want that to be peaceful and comfortable and have them pass with dignity. And so, you know, we have in Otto Rogers House for children who are terminally ill. So I've met with them as well just to talk about, well, it's so similar because our clients, they feel like that pet is their baby, you know, and they want them to be able to live well until they die.
And when you were talking about babies and you're talking about cancer and, you know, those horrid situations, and sometimes another horrid situation is somebody really does consider them to be that part of the family. They're extremely important. And there's a condition that maybe is treatable. You'd mentioned the osteosarcoma, the type of bone cancer, that many times if a limb is amputated, that can help to dramatically extend an animal's life, but the cost for that can be beyond the means of that pet owner. And it's like, do I just let my pet suffer or do I let it pass with dignity? So sometimes it is just, sadly, a matter of economics.
It can be. We certainly do have funds out there that can help. You know, in Canada, we have Farley Foundation that raises money for less fortunate families that particular time that the animal doesn't necessarily, you know, need to be euthanized if there's a way that we can help with a charitable organization. So that's possible. But if all, you know, if everything has been exhausted and there's no funds left and there's nothing else we can do, well, I think we really owe it to that animal to at least let them die peacefully and comfortably if we're not able to make them better.
With hospice, okay, we have this idea of keeping them comfortable. What services does a hospice veterinarian provide? And is it just the doctor coming in all the time to do this, or is there a team effort? It seems like there would have to be a home, you know, the pet parent and the veterinarian. Who else could be involved?
Oh, it's definitely a team effort, and we do like to have our hospice care in the home setting if possible. So obviously we can evaluate their environment better when we're right there seeing everything. We can see what their quality of life is like in the home. We want to manage their pain and their mobility and their nutrition, all of those things. And so with that, we bring in a lot of people. It's definitely a team effort. So you have the pet parent looking after the animal most of the time. We come in as a veterinarian. We bring in our veterinary technicians and assistants. We have also mobile practitioners for rehab, massage, acupuncture. There's so many things that you can have in the home setting that just makes it a more peaceful experience for everybody, you know, the pet and the people. And in the end, of course, we can provide a home euthanasia, and then we look to our aftercare providers for cremation. So then we can take the pet with us directly after the euthanasia, transfer them into the care of, you know, Animal Memorial Center, which can then from there look after all the final arrangements, and often they then do a home delivery of the urn back to the family. So everything can be within the comfort of home.
How calming and peaceful. We're chatting right now with Dr. Liana Titcomb. She is the president of the International Association of Animal Hospice and Palliative Care. We're going to be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Hi, I'm Dana Humphrey, the founder of Whitegate PR. We have been specializing in PR and marketing in the pet industry for over 10 years. If you have a pet product or service you would like to promote, give us a call. We can help create awareness for your brand on TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, and blogs. Feel free to reach me directly at 619-414-9307 or learn more on our website at whitegatepr.com or follow us on Facebook.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Thank you very much for staying with us on a very important subject, that one we don't like to think about, but we know that we're all going to have to face with these furry, scaled, feathered friends of our family. We're chatting right now with Dr. Leanna Titcomb. I made a mistake where I said that she was the current president. She's actually the past president of the International Association of Animal Hospice and Palliative Care. Dr. Titcomb, you had mentioned right before the break that there's various things that a hospice veterinarian will provide to keep that pet comfortable. You mentioned massage. What else can be done at home?
Well, you definitely have a large team that can help us. So not only are we caring for the pet, but we're caring for the people. Because you have to understand, in hospice, the patient is really the family, and we're talking about the quality of life of the whole family. So we also have mental health workers that help us. So social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists, and even me personally, I have my own pet loss support group. I've been running that for 16 years. So we are looking after the people as well, because when you're caring for a terminally ill pet, it's emotionally exhausting, and people, they forget to look after themselves. So I think that's a really big part of it as well.
So many people who don't have that relationship to a pet, they have the best of intentions many times when a pet passes or a pet's very ill, and everyone has a different view of what a good quality of life is, you know, to keep that pet with them. Oftentimes people will say, oh, it's just a pet. What are you talking about? Why are you so concerned? Why are you so distraught? Or a pet pass and say, you know, just go out and get another dog. It's just a dog.
Right.
What's your response to that? Because that can be so difficult. I love the fact that you're taking care of the entire family, that family being the pet and the person.
Yeah. It's so true, and it really is not helpful at all to tell a grieving person another pet. You have to imagine if an animal in your world is not all that important, just change it and imagine if your child, your human child, were to die. You know, would you like it if someone came to you and said, well, why don't you just have another baby? You know, no one would ever say that. That's pretty cruel. So just imagine it that way and don't choose to say that. And then I say for the pet parents who really are feeling that grief, you really do need to choose your audience. And it's not always going to be the person that you might expect who's going to provide the most help and care. You might find the most compassionate people in the least expected situations. It might end up being a coworker, a neighbor. Maybe it's not your mom or your dad. Maybe it's someone else who really has that same kind of bond with animals who's going to understand your loss better. So you really do have to kind of choose your audience when you're talking about grief over the loss of a pet.
And as you mentioned, there are support groups that you can go to. You can ask your veterinarian. You can go online. There's so many things. And everyone goes through that grief process at a different rate. And you may be feeling, okay, sad, but that first week or so, okay, I can do it. And all of a sudden it hits you like a brick. That next week is like, I can't do this. You know, there must be something wrong with me. And there isn't.
Exactly. And it's not a linear process. Well, like we've often heard about these five stages of grief. Well, yes, that can happen, but it's not always, you know, one step after the other and then you're better after 2 weeks, you know. Really, it's a roller coaster people go on. And I have people coming to my support group for years. It's not like you ever really get over that kind of loss. It's like you just have to take that grief with you, readjust your life around it, and move forward in a functioning way. So I have some people that come to my meetings once, and I have some people that come like hundreds of times because they just need that extra support in moving forward with their life.
And one of the things also, if you've owned pets for any length of time, had them be part of your family, you can have a pet that passes and it's sad and okay. But there's another one for whatever reason. It's like this one just hits you extra hard. And it doesn't mean that you didn't care for the other ones, but every pet is going to affect you in a different way.
Very true. And it's also what's going on in your own life at the same time where your grief might be different. A lot of times it brings up previous losses and human losses that you hadn't really worked through yet. And so it can really depend on what's happening in your own life at that moment, what type of grief you're going to feel for that particular animal. And yeah, they're not all going to be the same. And you shouldn't feel bad. I mean, you already are sad about a loss. Well, don't feel bad if you don't think that you're grieving the right way. There is no right way to grieve, you know? Everyone's doing their best just to survive and get through this pain. And I just think that we as humans, like, we are so apt to blame ourselves, you know. And I think if we just had the grace of animals to be much more forgiving of ourselves, wouldn't it be great?
It would be. Mentioning pain, typically the pet parent will think of pain control for that animal that's in hospice that they're giving palliative care is always going to be medication. You know, my animal, I don't want to keep my dog, my cat, my bird drugged up all the time. You know, that's just, it's this little creature that's existing, but it's not enjoying the family. It's not enjoying life around it. What are some of the complementary therapies that can really help in this end of life?
Oh, I definitely agree. So when we're talking about pain management, it doesn't necessarily have to be a very strong sedative type of medication. There's lots of medication that takes away pain without altering the animal's mental status. So to know that, especially if you have a hospice veterinarian on your team, that's someone who is highly trained in pain management. So not to be afraid of drugs, first of all. But second of all, definitely with the complementary therapies in terms of, we have had a lot of success with acupuncture, like for example, for a dog with a slip disc, so a back injury. There's been some great success with electroacupuncture, for example, with those types of dogs if we're trying to avoid surgery. And our rehabilitation practitioners, so you might think of like a human physiotherapist, well, the same for animals. And they can come in with therapeutic laser, therapeutic ultrasound, and they can really have a great effect in helping with the pain. And same with a massage therapist. Like I know I go for my own massage therapy. It's fantastic for me in helping manage pain and stress and all kinds of things. So those practitioners can all go into the home. And I think a lot of clients don't realize even that that's available to them. So I think that there's such a broad range. I mean, for some people, they prefer different type of complementary therapies in terms of homeopathy and that kind of thing. And there's some really good practitioners out there in Chinese herbs and things that can find some alternative therapies in combination with good pain management.
How does a pet owner find these types of veterinarians? Because I myself, I'm not trained in traditional Chinese medicine and laser therapy. We do that, but I don't go to the home. So how does somebody find a practitioner who says, yes, I will come to you?
Right. So it depends, obviously, where you live. So within our own website, so the International Association of Animal Hospice and Palliative Care. So we have a website, and on that, there's a resources and support tab. And in there's another tab that says service providers. So that would be a really good place to start because then it'll tell you where they live as well. There's another really good website specific to euthanasia, but it's inhomepeteuthanasia.com, and that'll show you service providers in that area for euthanasia. And many of those also provide hospice care. You just have to obviously go to their website and see what type of service they provide. But those would be two good, like, international resources right there.
Knowing that we're talking about a member of the family, I find many times from my own practice that dog or cat or bird was the firstborn child. You know, they have a couple that just got married or two people that are starting a relationship and that's their baby. And then all of a sudden, human child. And now that senior pet needs to pass or the ill pet needs to pass. What do we do with a child? Do we have them be a part of this? Is this going to be mentally scarring, psychologically scarring for this child to be a part of it? Or do we just say, and I remember as a child myself, it seemed to happen more often than not, that my cats always went to the dairy. It's like, really? And that was my parents' euphemism for it was really sick. You know, if you went to the dairy, look at all that milk your kitty would have, and it would just be so happy running around outside. And then when I was finally 21, they said, oh, no, they didn't go to the dairy. They went to the dairy in the sky. It's like, that was devastating. So,
oh, my gosh. And that is so common that parents do that because they're trying to protect their little child from the pain of the loss. But in fact, really the opposite is true. What should happen is they should be told the truth and they should also have the opportunity to say goodbye. they're part of the family as well. I mean, it depends on the age of the child, of course, and it's always going to be a parenting decision, not a veterinary decision as to whether the child should be there or not. But I absolutely would welcome children. I think it's very important for them to understand that death is a part of life and it doesn't have to be scary. And if you help them through that grief in an honest way and communicating with them and understanding their grief, really, you're going to set them up for their future losses to be able to handle that in a healthy way. So we always give the children the opportunity to be there. If they're old enough to make their own choice, then they may choose not to be there. But at least they haven't been lied to. They've been told the truth. They can say goodbye if they choose to go off to school or just even be in their room while they're having a home euthanasia performed there. That I really believe the parents will feel better in the end, that they've handled it openly, honestly, and with understanding and care for their own child to help them through their grief.
Many times I find in my own practice, when it's especially young child, and most children have seen the movie The Lion King. I said, have you ever seen The Lion King? Yep. I sometimes will tell parents as we're chatting about this, that rent it now so they have an opportunity to watch it. And then when it gets to the point, we say, circle of life. And I always think it's so important that I really try to confirm to that child that your parent did everything they could for this pet. It's not that they don't love it. It's not that they're giving up. It's not like they're going to give up on you. They did everything, and this is part of that circle of life. And at least for me, in my hands, that seems to be, oh, now I understand a little bit better. And the other thing is having it at home, or even there are times when I'll be doing it in my practice, I will say, bring along the other resident pets in the home, because they understand. What's your feelings about having the other pets there?
Oh, absolutely. We even had a lecture at our latest conference talking about responses from other pets in the home. So I absolutely believe they should be present, as long as it's not like a little puppy who's really going to be bothering the patient, you know. But I find that usually animals are very respectful and they seem to understand. And definitely after the other animal has passed away, they really seem to know. We give them the opportunity to come nearby and they just seem to sort of sniff around a little bit. And sometimes they'll look right up at their person and then they move on quite quickly. But if you don't give them that opportunity, what my clients have told me is that the animals are distraught for a long time after that, because like if you take your dog to the vet and come back without him, then the other one is wondering, where did they go? And they're always looking for them, and they're, you know, yelling at night and they're confused and you can't explain to them. But if they're right there, they're part of the family, they're present, it's not meant to be scary, you know. So I don't find that it frightens the other animals or anything like that, but they're more at peace if they know that their friend has passed away.
I had last year in 2016, one of my own cats suddenly pass, and it was devastating. But then you're exactly right. I allowed my other cats to see it, and they came up, and they sniffed, and they looked. It's like, okay. That Lydia's no there, you know, not with us anymore. I understand something happened. I don't know what, but okay. Because otherwise, I totally agree. They seem to wander around the house. Where's that kitty? Where did it go? What happened?
Yeah, and that's heartbreaking.
With regard to euthanasia, one of the reasons I am so glad that I can offer this to a pet parent is knowing that in most places of the world, it's not allowed for our humans. Are you finding that veterinarians are talking more to doctors, MDs? Are they talking to veterinarians to learn more about this? Because it's something that they're not taught.
Yes, exactly. I think there's a lot that we can share with, you know, human hospice providers and things they can learn from us as well. I will tell you, there's many, many of my clients, humans, who ask me to come back when it's their time, because they see it really, it can be a beautiful, peaceful experience. And they would wish that for one of their family members who passed away. So they see a family member die in an agonizingly slow death in a hospital or something, and they don't want that. So now we're seeing it's in the news all the time now about the right to die with dignity. And in Ontario, where I'm from, it's now legal. It's medical assistance in death. So we are moving forward in the world in changing this for people as well. And because we've been doing this in the veterinary world for years, I feel there's a lot that, you know, human doctors can learn from us veterinarians. And then because human hospice has been around much, much longer than animal hospice, we have so much we can learn from them. I think as a whole community of animal lovers and people, we have companions that are human and animal. We have so much to learn from each other. We just need to open those doors.
Awesome. Dr. Titcomb, if there is one bit of advice that you could give my listeners right now, what would that be?
Oh, well, at end of life, for your companion, your pet companion, my best piece of advice would be for people to plan ahead. Don't wait until your cat is taking her last breath to call me, because then you end up in a crisis where you can't get any help and you lose that chance for this peaceful, dignified passing at home. So I'd say if there's one thing to do that is going to be a gift, is to start thinking now about the future and what you would do and make those plans. And if people do it for their human companions, you should do it for your pet as well, so that you do not deny them that peaceful death at home that they could have.
Thank you. I've been chatting today with Dr. Leanna Titcomb. She is the past president of the International Association of Animal Hospice and Palliative Care. If people want to learn more, where should they go on the internet?
To our website, which is iaahpc.org.
Awesome. And we'll have that on our website also. Great. So thank you very much for listening. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you so much. Please come back next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.